opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. CATS, champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Go Big Blue!
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside me, as always, is Chris Littrell. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good, Kenny. Yourself?
I'm doing well. We have started off the football season quite well. I'm quite excited about that. Obviously, a stomping of UT Martin of the Skyhawks, and there's a lot to be excited about that. Apparently, it was so easy. It's so easy to think about that. But yeah, I mean, it's been a while since Kentucky's won an opener, man. I mean, I think we've lost that in the last couple of seasons, but it's been a while since Kentucky's won an opener.
Yeah, and won it in convincing fashion too. You know, that was a big thing for me. Is what are they going to look like coming out? Are they going to, you know, kind of sleepwalk through a 24-14 win, or are they going to show us something? And you know, nothing to be disappointed about, not even thinking about basketball.
Exactly. It was a great game. I want to go ahead and I'm going to pick two players of the game, but I want to know who you think the player of the game was as well. I'm going to pick one for offense and defense. On offense, I've got to go with Braylon Hurd. What an introduction to this football team. Two runs, two touchdowns, over 110 yards. They were unreal. They weren't necessarily spectacular runs in that he didn't break a lot of ankles or, you know, make this amazing cut. The first play, he literally hit the hole he was supposed to, avoided getting tripped up by his own offensive lineman, and then it was just off to the races. I mean, it was just a home run ball.
Yeah.
The second run, almost the same thing, only for 43 yards. Great game from him. On defense, I have to say A.J. Stamps, because that schoolyard interception one-handed and a couple big hits that he had, that's the type of physical secondary Kentucky has lacked for maybe since Marcus McClinton has been there. And so two new guys, two transfers, instantly making a difference, and I think that's the difference of the game. The new guys, whether they're transfers or the freshmen, clearly the difference in this week's game, this year's season opener.
Yeah, totally. I was going to pick Braylon Hurd as my player of the game. Just the impact that he had on the game, two carries resulting in two touchdowns, couple huge runs, and it, you know, made the rushing stats look a lot better at the end of the game. But since you picked him, I'm gonna go ahead and just give it to the entire offensive line for this game, because Kentucky ran for 234 yards, got a lot of running backs involved. Mikel Horton averaged 6.4 yards a run, and he scored a couple touchdowns as well. Tolles looked like he had some time back there. You know, he had a good game. And again, you got to give credit to the offensive line for protecting him. So for Kentucky to put up the points that they did and run the ball as well as they did, I'll go ahead and give the player of the game to the entire offensive line.
They did do well. There's some new guys on there. There was obviously we had one suspension as well. So very interesting. The line did well. Opened up a lot of holes for the running backs. Tolles was never really pressured that much. And let's give a shout out to Patrick Tolles. I mean, 377 yards passing, only one passing touchdown, but he had a lot of long passes that ended on the 5, the 2, that guys like, you know, not Clemens, but JoJo Kemp, Mikael Horton ran in for easy ones.
Right.
And so give some credit to Tolles. He probably really should have had more like 3 touchdowns. Blake Bone was his only real touchdown. That was on like a little screen pass. The big man took it 30-something yards. But DeMarco Robinson had a long, long reception, although DeMarco did most of that work. There were a couple other long receptions that were a little underthrown. Had they been right on the mark, probably would have been touchdowns. But overall, I think this is the air raid offense that everyone's been waiting to see from Neil Brown and company. Spreading the ball around, I think 9-10 guys had receptions. 4 or 5 running backs ran the ball. This is the spreading the ball around, doing big plays, big runs that everyone was waiting to see.
Yeah, I was going to say they did spread the ball around, and a lot of guys played, but no one got over 3 receptions, but there were a lot of guys with 3, a lot of guys with 2. Like you said, DeMarco Robinson only had 1, but it was for 80 yards. So, yeah, definitely different than what we saw last year where they relied on the run so much, just didn't have the personnel to run the offense the way they wanted to. And it looks like this year they've made improvements by leaps and bounds. And, I think next week they're going to get even better. They say that a team's biggest improvement comes between game 1 and game 2. So it'd be exciting to see what they do next week.
Well, it will be exciting, and we will get to that. But, you know, UT Martin, obviously not an SEC school, obviously not a top of the Big 5 power conference school. I know they had a decent year last year. A lot of this could be the team that Kentucky played, which is fine. I mean, this is what fans want to see. They don't want these. We know when we get into SEC play, it's going to be close games. There's not going to be a lot of blowouts unless we're on the receiving end of them. This is what you want when you play these teams, which Kentucky has not had the last couple of years. You know, when you play the Westerns, which obviously is better than UT Martin, but when you play these type of schools, Ohio, you want to beat these schools by 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. You want the defense to pitch a shutout for 2, 3 quarters or keep it low. And so that's – I find – it's hard to pick anything wrong out of this game. I know that there were wrong things in this game. It was not by any means a perfect game. Tolles didn't have all the greatest throws. I saw issues on the defense. But this is what you want out of a home opener against a team that you're supposed to beat. Kentucky was only a 3-touchdown favorite. They almost doubled that. I mean, they almost doubled it. So this is what you want out of it. You want your secondary to hit some people. I did see some problems, though. I'm not entirely thrilled with this defensive line. We've heard a lot about this defensive line. Stoops said, defensive line and running back are the only two positions I'm not worried about. I'm willing to have the caveat that maybe they didn't implement a lot of stuff on the defensive line. It looked like a lot of times they were basically coming off the snap, getting a 1 or 2 yard push, and just kind of standing in their gaps. Maybe that's the way the defense is supposed to be, and the linebackers are supposed to make the plays. Kentucky does not have the linebacker talent to really do that yet, in my opinion. So I'd like to see more. I mean, we didn't see much out of Bud Dupree. We didn't see anything out of Za'Darius Smith. We didn't see, you had a few guys in the middle that played okay, but we didn't see any big sacks or anything like that. This defensive line is going to have to get a push. They're going to have to pressure hitting running backs in the backfield, the quarterback in the backfield, in order for us to be successful. And so, overall, need to see improvement out of the linebackers and the defensive line. The talent is supposed to be there at the defensive line. I didn't see it. I'm willing to say maybe they didn't implement a lot of stuff. Maybe they were just being cautious. I hope that's the case because I wasn't thrilled with the defensive line.
Yeah, I doubt they opened up the playbook all the way against Tennessee Martin. They probably didn't run all their stunts, all their blitz packages, just, obviously to not show Ohio or Florida down the road or whoever, what they've got. They knew they could win against Tennessee Martin without doing that. So they probably went at them with a fairly base defense most of the day and then let a lot of guys play, you know, coming off the bench in the second half. So, yeah, I don't think you saw a Kentucky defense that was at 100%. That's for sure. But, yeah, you know, going back to what you want to see out of a game like this, before we went on, I was reading up on the game and just looking over stats and you know, 59-14, that's a blowout, and that's great. And I was trying to come up with some negative things about the game, you know, and you can talk about the defense. Yep, yep.
So, sorry about that, Chris. We had technical difficulties there. I can't even say it. It was so difficult for
still
us.
Still having them.
I know. Yeah. Anyways, Chris, you were making a point that, you know, you were trying to find flaws in this, and we got off track there a little bit.
Yeah, basically what I was saying was it would be nitpicking at this point to try and find any flaws in a 59-14 game. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, you could put Alabama or Oregon or Auburn in there instead of Kentucky, and those teams would find some flaws in a 59-14 win over Tennessee Martin. So I'm not worried about anything that they might have done wrong, you know, on Saturday.
Yeah, great win. I don't think you need to really hammer on this team too much going into it. But great opening win for the Wildcats. I don't think there was any doubt that they were going to win, but it's good to win this way with big plays. And a great offensive showing. Now, this upcoming week could be a little bit more difficult. We're not yet in the SEC play, but Ohio comes to town, and Ohio has become a pretty decent mid-major team, a team out of the MAC. Last time they came to Commonwealth Stadium, actually got a win, and so Kentucky's back to playing the Ohio team, and I think we're going to see this. I don't know if you saw the rumors or not, Chris, that Kentucky and Cincinnati are talking about like a home-and-home series or maybe playing in Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati.
I have seen that.
Kentucky has so much, I guess, effort put into recruiting Ohio. You're going to see. You always saw these Ohio teams because they were easy non-conference games for these teams to travel to. I think you're going to see it more and more, and you're probably – I don't know that we'll ever get into a rivalry with, like, Ohio State. That just doesn't make a lot of sense for Kentucky. But I think you're going to see these games where Kentucky's going to play maybe in Cincinnati against Cincinnati or Xavier, although I'm not sure Xavier has a Division I football team. But Miami of Ohio, Ohio University – you're going to see maybe even Youngstown State. You're going to start to see Kentucky play these teams, I think, a lot more. Count on at least one a year because of their ties to the Ohio region in recruiting. That's the next team that Kentucky has on its schedule. Originally opened as only a 6-point favorite at home. That line has now moved to a 13-point favorite. So that's kind of interesting. You're our resident MAC expert. What can we expect out of this Ohio team?
Well, they're going to be better than Tennessee Martin. How much, I don't know, but they'll be a better team. It's a better program. Five straight seasons going to a bowl for Ohio, coached by Frank Solich, who was the head coach at Nebraska, coached them to a national championship game that they lost. So he's a good coach. He's been there for a long time at this point, well over 10 years, I think. You know, it's an upper level MAC team. And you're right. Yeah, we're going to be playing these MAC teams from Ohio, probably one every year from here on out. Kent State, Bowling Green, Akron, Toledo, getting up there in the northern part of the state, you know, where most of the good high school football really gets played in Ohio, bigger schools up there, more people. But this is a game that Kentucky should still win and should win by two or three touchdowns, I would think. Louisville destroyed this Ohio team last year, and it was a pretty good Ohio team. Went on to a bowl game, but I think still Kentucky, after what I saw against Tennessee Martin, their ability to score, and Ohio struggled with Kent State. I think they won that game 17-14, turned the ball over quite a bit. I think Kentucky's a, you know, like a 35-10, 35-13 winner.
Oh, so you think it'll be higher than the spread again? That's
Yeah, I do. I think that Kentucky's proven that this offense is going to be able to move the ball against these teams. And Ohio struggled to score. I think they've got a new quarterback, so it's going to be his second college game. And I think, you know, like we talked about the defense earlier, I think Stoops will open up the playbook a little bit. We'll see a little bit more out of the defense than we did Saturday. And, yeah, I think Kentucky's a good, you know, three-touchdown better team than Ohio.
Very interesting. You know, they're usually a pretty decent team. They can make bowls, maybe not every year, but consistently.
Five straight.
Yeah, okay, so five straight. I don't know if they'll make one this year based on what you were talking about, but, you know, they do play an interesting defense. I think their defensive coordinator has been there something like 9 years, like their head coach, long time. So they're pretty set in their ways. I know they do what's called rolling coverage. Neil Brown and Toles were talking about that today. That could be a little tricky for Toles. I mean, I know he's a red shirt, he's in a sophomore, he's in his third year, but you've got new wide receivers, a lot of young guys. Toles is not that experienced. You know, you got a safety. You know, if you read a play one way, the safety looks like he's creeping up, and all of a sudden you snap the ball, and he drops back into like a cover two or a cover three, you could have a pick or two here. So maybe I'm interested to see how the passing game responds to a little bit of a tougher defense this upcoming week. I'll say Kentucky by 17 points, not much higher than the spread. I just think Ohio, they're going to come in here. I know it's not anywhere close to the same team that won last time, but they're going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Sometimes teams don't play well in that first game. I'm going to give them more credit than what they're getting right now. I think they're going to be a tough opponent for Kentucky. There's always the chance that we also see how we played last week and come out and play flat. You're talking about young guys who can get egos really quickly. And I don't say that in a mean way. I'm just, you know, they can get really full of themselves. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, they come out and they get hit in the mouth and they don't know where they're at. So you got to watch out for that, too. I'm preparing myself for at least a first half letdown against Ohio, because you've got a young team that could get real cocky real fast.
And one thing that's going to factor into this game too is will Braylon Hurd play? He sprained his ankle on that second touchdown run, didn't play for the rest of the game after that Saturday. So you take away him, you know, you take him away from Tennessee Martin, there's 116 of your rushing yards and two touchdowns. So to not have him against Ohio, you know, how's that going to factor in? Do the other guys step up? I mean, that's one position, I guess, where you don't have to worry about injuries as much. But, you know, Braylon Hurd provided a huge jolt of energy for this team Saturday. So, and it's looking like they're going to be without him.
He is currently doubtful. We're taping this show on Wednesday. He's currently doubtful. You are correct. I mean, you've got JoJo Kemp. You got Josh Clemens, who only played a couple of plays but looked good. Mikael Horton, Boom Williams, the freshman. If Kentucky could withstand an injury, it's going to be at running back, and I guess secondly it's going to be at the defensive line. But you would like to see that kid play based on what we saw last week. So hopefully I would rather him sit out this game and have him play the Floridas, the Vanderbilts, the SEC teams than the Ohios of the world. But hopefully that ankle injury, the guy just basically missed a tackle, hit his helmet on Hurd's ankle, and he kind of rolled it a little bit is what looked like the injury was. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery, but don't rush him back just to play Ohio, a team you're going to beat anyways. Don't do that. So anything else you want to talk about to kind of preview this Ohio game? Anybody you think will be key to this victory, this hopeful victory coming up this Saturday? I guess I can't absolutely say a victory, but this hopeful victory coming up this Saturday?
Well, you know, I'm going to put it on my players of the game again. This offensive line, we just said that Kentucky going to be without one of its most explosive running backs. So the rest of the running back core is going to need to step up, and this offensive line is going to have to be there for him, busting those holes open. Again, pass protection for Toles is going to be you know, super important. He only threw for one touchdown Saturday. Like to see him get more against Ohio. You know, the better they pass, the more it's going to open up the running game and vice versa. But, you know, one more interesting thing I want to touch on real quick, too, just looking at the schedule. You know, Florida's game got canceled Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be rescheduled, by the way, just a little information tidbit for you there. But they're going to play Eastern Michigan Saturday, and that's probably going to be a cakewalk for them. So Florida's only going to have one game under their belt instead of two when Kentucky goes down to the Swamp on September 13th. And it's going to be against a fairly easy opponent in Eastern Michigan, who's pretty much been in the cellar of the MAC for the last few years. So Kentucky's going to go down to the Swamp probably 2-0. And I know I'm looking ahead here, but they're going to take on a Florida team that's really not going to know what they're all about. And just the fact that Florida got that game canceled Saturday and only going to get one live game before the Cats come in, I think that's really interesting.
I definitely that will be interesting. I did see on Twitter that it looks like that Florida game will not be rescheduled, although they are looking at other options to get in that game, because you're almost at a little bit of a disadvantage to not have that 12th game in college football. You're not matching apples to apples, but
right.
Very interesting there. It's hard to say whether Kentucky will be competitive in that Florida game. It's a night game in the Swamp, and you know if Kentucky wins that game or even gives them a close game, Muschamp is pretty much out the door. It's not going to signal a good season. And I'm glad you brought up Florida, because I want to talk about some of the SEC action this past week. I wanted to carve out some time for that. Very, very shocked with some of the SEC play this week.
Oh, yeah.
Texas A&M, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
South Carolina on the opposite end of that. A&M just took Carolina to the woodshed at Carolina. And it's one of those questions that, is Texas A&M that good? Or is South Carolina that bad? It's probably somewhere in the middle, to be honest with you. But I was not dismissive of Texas A&M. But if you want to talk about a dark horse now, I don't know if you can even call them a dark horse to win the SEC West. Clearly, they're in the same conversation as Auburn, LSU, and Alabama now. They're not on the outside looking in. Ole Miss played a decent game against Boise State. South Carolina looks to be in free fall, although I'm not yet ready to say that Kentucky can win that game, although I believe it's at Commonwealth, so who knows?
It is.
Georgia looked very strong against Clemson. Did not start strong, but Gurley, man, early,
yeah,
Heisman.
Monster.
I mean, early Heisman front runner, I would have to say. They smacked, ended up smacking Clemson. Alabama, not that impressive against West Virginia. Saban says today that they still have an open battle for quarterback. LSU needed every single bit of four quarters to take down Wisconsin. Very, very interesting week in the SEC. And I didn't even touch on the most interesting one, and something that you raised to my attention last week, with another SEC East team. And that's Vanderbilt. What happened there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just destroyed by a pretty bad Temple team, which you have to love to see that. I mean, a 37-10 thrashing at the hands of Temple in Nashville. I'm pretty sure that game was played in Nashville. Yeah, it was. They had some weather delay down there, I believe. But, yeah, I mean, that game coming up here in about 3 weeks, you got to like Kentucky's chances. Vanderbilt looked horrible. And, you know, I watched Tennessee. They easily beat someone over the weekend, but, you know, they did not look overwhelmingly impressive, so, you know, hard to get a gauge on any team 1 week into the season, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Definitely going to be a lot of fun. I am confident to say after week one with Vanderbilt's three-headed quarterback monster that that Kentucky can get four wins with Vanderbilt. They need to get their fourth win with Vanderbilt. That looks almost like a, oh, I hate to say a slam dunk, but I feel pretty confident about that one. Less confident about some of those
other
games.
Yeah, I do too. I really do.
Yeah. Missouri didn't play great against South Dakota State, but still I think a 12 or 14-17 point victory.
Yeah.
So very interesting. The SEC East seems to be Georgia's to lose. The West is on the verge of cannibalizing itself. You know, when they switched to a 14 playoff, I thought, you know what, this won't be so bad. The West, the SEC West, although very cannibalistic, surely they'll still get like a team in there. Or if the East team beats the West winner, you know, you'll definitely get one SEC team in there. And I still think that's the case. But with the rise of Ole Miss and Texas A&M, I'm wondering if the SEC West wouldn't be better off with an 18 playoff, because I mean, you've got four teams that could be their own 14 playoff. I mean, Auburn, Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M. I'd pay some good money. Let's just round robin those three, you know, or those four. That's good football right there. So very interesting to see what the SEC West will do. It used to be that the East was king of the SEC, sans Alabama and LSU. Those roles have definitely reversed. Interesting first week of college football. Anything else you want to put out there about this first week?
Well, you got two great games on at the same time Saturday night. You got the Michigan-Notre Dame, last time that rivalry is going to be played for a while. And then you got Michigan State and Oregon playing at the very same time. That's the game I got my eyes on. That's a huge one. That I think the winner of that team probably goes on to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that is going to be a very interesting game. If Michigan State can go into the Zoo and pull out a victory, very, very strong team there. If Oregon, you know, blows out Michigan State at home, very strong message there. So that is definitely an early season game to watch.
Yep. That's all I got.
All right. Well, a solid first week of the football season. Looking forward to the Ohio game coming up. We'll end this as we always do. Go Cats!
Cats.